has mourning Queen Elizabeth II re-galvanized Britain? Welcome to Mark and Pete. Here's a thought.
The majesty of life. Grief may guide us to the grave, yet faith will lead to souls we save. Prayer soothes the sorrow that we brave. The spirit will rise from what God gave. Now, Queen Elizabeth II has been lying in state, and the mourners have been passing by, but the queues have been for many, many miles. What's extraordinary about this is it's not just from people from Great Britain, it's from people from all over the world. So, Clergyman Pete, I ask you, has the passing of Queen Elizabeth II and this mourning period really galvanized not just people from this land, but from many, many other lands far and wide?
Well, Mrs. and Mark, it's been interesting to see the response, in that people who you thought were actual Republicans and weren't in favour of the royalty suddenly reveal their love for the Queen. It's not universal, but it is very widespread, and by far the majority of people who I come across in my work in the parish wanted to mourn the passing of Queen Elizabeth, and in a traditional manner. For example, in my local church that I run in Seacombe, having the flag on the flagpole at half mast, the union flag at half mast, traditional things like this, people suddenly wanted them. And it seems like there's something deep, like there's this concept of deep lore, L-O-R-E, or deep magic. There's something in Britain, in the soil, in the land, in the rituals that have grown up over time, and in the royalty and being loyal to your country and your queen or king, that's somehow in people, even though they didn't realize it until the Queen died. So, yeah, I think it has the potential to be a real moment of change.
Yes.
I mean, already Britain feels different. It was feeling rather a depressing place. Paradoxically, the death of the much-loved Queen has changed that. It doesn't feel such a dark place anymore.
No.
Because we've remembered something. Maybe remembered something about ourselves and about who we are because of mourning the Queen.
Yes, and it's interesting, isn't it, that when we look at the imagery that we've seen on the television and those who commentated on the entire orchestration of this mourning period, you know, the tributes that we've seen, floral tributes, there have been tributes that have come from so many people. From obviously politicians, celebrities, the members of the public, and many others. But it is the sheer scale of it that has probably taken people by surprise. But what I think is also important is the respect that has been shown.
Yeah.
And for those who have been interviewed coming out of the process of sort of that mourning period, giving their respects to Queen Elizabeth II as they've been passing by the coffin, you know, we've all been touched by the moment, and we've also seen, you know, her children have gone through the orchestration of mourning, and the grandchildren have done the same. And to me, it's those images are not going to go away. It's something that again just shows you the importance of the individual, Queen Elizabeth II, what she did, her sense of duty. But I also think that, you know, coming out of this process, where I think that there is some optimism in what might be a very dark period, meaning we've seen Charles, King Charles as he is now, going about this mourning period, but he has seen people respond to him very, very well in public. You know, we've seen him, and we've seen obviously William as well, going into the crowds and getting responses. And by and large, it's been extremely positive, overwhelming, in fact. You know, the three cheers for the king, yes, and many, many others, spontaneous. And this, whilst I understand it's orchestrated, this is genuine. You know, people haven't hired these people. These are people from the public.
Genuine response.
I've been quite surprised, but delighted that this has been the galvanizing that we talk about here.
Having said that about the response of people, which I acknowledge that is true, there's also the fact that he gave what was really like a pitch perfect speech when he talked from that same room where the Queen had been doing her Christmas addresses over the years. Just the perfect speech, and even his tone of voice, which was quite a gentle tone. He talked about his love even for the wayward members of the royalty, while still being firm about what duties they could take part in, having been wayward. He was able to get across his commitment to the Christian faith, to the church, while still showing his tolerance of other religions and his commitment to the Constitution. So that was just a perfect speech in the moment. But it seems that even his mistakes have worked in his favour. At least this is my interpretation of it. He had a problem with a pen which leaked over him, which is very irritating. As a church minister, I have to use this special ink pen to sign the ledger, and it's permanent ink. And if you get it on you, it's just really annoying. I know his feeling if he's doing that sort of signing when it's important. You can't get the document wrong, the ink goes all over you. This is just terrible, and he referred to it as being a stinking pen. Annoyed. This was, of course, broadcast on video with endless repeats being shown around the world. Then later, when he met a member of the public, they reached over as he was going around shaking hands and gave him a pen and said, just in case. And then he took the pen and laughed, quite genuinely thought it was funny. So it humanized him. So all in all, he, has been accepted. He's the king. And now going forward, what does that mean? Well, I don't know what you think, Mark, in terms of culture, but as business as well. This is a good thing, surely, that I think it is re-galvanizing Britain. And maybe with this new confidence, we can go forward from this time forward instead of a feeling of depression and we're not going to make it, we can't make it on our own as Britain outside the EU, etc., etc. We can pull together and be more confident and make our way in the world.
What I do think is, and again, it's always very difficult to put a business slant on this because it's so personal, but at the same time, we can't ignore the fact that the monarchy generally does bring in a lot of revenue for our country. Having said that, taking the subject out of the scope of business, what I do think is that Charles, as we've talked about in previous episode, has a golden opportunity where he's starting to show his mantle, his ability to be able to take on this role. And I think that people are seeing that now. There were a lot of questions beforehand, but I think that this mourning period is something which obviously is solemn. But what we've seen is a man who's seen it through. He's, as you quite rightly say, the tone has been perfect. There are always little things which go wrong, the light moment with the pen. But again, it's interesting, is it brings that sense of that human quality to it, which you do want. I think, again, that what I like about Charles, and this is, again, I will highlight a personal view, he's been in an unusual position, because he's been the Prince of Wales for such a long, long time. So we've got to know him as a character. We've been seen in good and bad, you know, from, you know, when he was obviously growing up. And, you know, obviously we've seen the highs and lows. And that's unusual for a man in waiting. But nevertheless, I think we're going to see him come to the fore and we will start to see another side to him. I don't think it's a bad thing that we necessarily hear his views. Some people are concerned that this mourning period isn't a time for to come out and now start, you know, getting into his role and giving his opinions on the environment and many other things. I think there's a balance, and I think that he's smart enough and will be guided enough to get that balance right. And so I'm optimistic. And so in summary, what I would say here is, this is now a time for not just Britain to galvanize, but maybe an opportunity for others to think about how they think about royalty and what we as a nation can deliver to the rest of the world.
Yes, well, yeah, that's, I think that's the point, just in closing. I think it's a bit like the passion that people feel, for example, the English football club or the British Olympic team, you know, your pride in supporting them. That's been missing by pride in supporting Britain as an entity. But it looks like to me that that's come back. And once you get that feeling of pride in your nation, of loyalty to your nation, it brings back all sorts of other things, including hard work, diligence, entrepreneurship. But let's hope and pray that that does happen, not just for the sake of Britain, but for the sake of the world. Britain's place in the world should be one of leading, and if it's going to be a leader for peace and also conservative and liberal values, and be able to be a beacon for the rest of the world, it's got to take pride in itself and in its history. It does look like it's happening. But let us know what you think, gentle listener. Go to markandpete.com. You can just sign up and subscribe there. It's absolutely free. And leave a comment on this. And in fact, every episode if you want. And I guess that's it for us from this week, from Mark, me, Pete. It's goodbye for now. And remember, God save the King.